I missed the introduction. All right, anyway, let's go. Actually, the Maestro, we're going to say something from Shal Shudas. I don't think anybody was there, except for your pleasure. All right. All right, so I have to discuss the Hemshech, the continuation of the Avodah from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Seisei Mitshuva, Yom Kippur. Now these days we have in between to Sukkot, Chol HaMoed, Bishan Rabba, Shmiat Tzeres, Simchas Torah. And it says in Sfar Makadosh, the highest levels, the highest spiritual dveikus connection one has to Hashem is on Shmini Atzeres. And the whole Avodah starts with Chesh Elul. Starts with Chesh Elul, 30 days, Hashanah, etc., etc. The tachlis, the point and the goal of it all is Shmini Atzeres. So we have to understand the depth of what Sukkot is, what it means to us, how we can appreciate it, what does it mean in the perfection of humankind, and why is it relevant to the Yemei Hadin, the days of judgment, how we can apply it all in our lives in a deep, meaningful manner. Yeah. So the Avodah starts with Chodesh Elul all the way to Rosh Hashanah is the Avodah, the service of Kavod Olam Malchus Shamayim. I just said this over by Siyam just now, but we're going to say it with more elaboration. So if we accept upon ourselves Kavod Olam Malchus Shamayim, the kingship of Hashem has to be upon us. And it doesn't just mean that I wake up that morning and I daven Shachas Mincha Ma'ariv and I'm Kvitim L'Torah. But Kavod Olam Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of the kingship of Hashem means that every single thing that a person does in life. Every time a person blinks, they say that there's Edus, that the Alter Mikel, he never blinked unless he had a kavanah why he blinked his eyes, and he was doing the Shem Shammai. Not just when we do mitzvahs, not just when we learn Torah, not just when we daven, but every moment of our lives have to have the kingship of Hashem upon us. That's the beginning of Avodah. The beginning of the Yemei Hadin is Kavod Olam Malchus Shammai. Accepting on ourselves the way the servants are subjects of the king, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, I wanted to start off. Very interesting story that happened to me. And I want to say it over. I finally got maybe a vart. Is that I'm very busy building my sukkah. Right, so I'll be in my sukkah for one day this year. Probably. I'm going to be by my in-laws. But I'm putting a lot of effort in for that one day just to feel accomplished in life. So I went, I have my floor, and I have my floor made out of wood, and planks of wood, and taking my drill, I feel like very manly, and there I'm drilling into all the nails in there, and all of a sudden I realize that I'm missing planks of wood that I used last year. And not only that, as I put up the edifice, that's a very good word, the edifice of the sukkah, and on the top, the bars that go across, I'm missing these bars, these wood planks that go on the top also. So I'm thinking, what's going on over here? Like, did someone, like, some robber came in into my backyard and stole my planks of wood made for my sukkah? What's going on? So I'm asking my wife, did you see it? No. I was like, no. Where's the wood? Where'd it go? So all of a sudden, as I'm, you know, stressing out, trying to figure out what I'm going to do for sukkahs, I look up, and I see my cinder blocks on the top of my roof. I say, that's so odd that my cinder blocks are on top of my roof that I need for my sukkah. I look a little further to the one side, I see my plank of wood off the roof. Like the side, there's another plank of wood. And all my sukkah supplies on the top of my roof. I'm thinking, this is really strange. Why are my things on the roof? So finally I figured out it was because we once had a worker who was putting tarp on our roof and he couldn't figure out how to keep the tarp on, so he just decided to take all my stuff and put on top of the tarp to keep the tarp on top of my roof. But he decided to use my cinder blocks and all my wood for my sukkah to do that. So I'm trying to figure out what's up, shot. So I said he came and he took all stuff and threw it off the roof and then he left. So I'm thinking, why did this happen? So we have to learn something about Avodas Hashem in every part of our lives, everything that happens. So I finally figured it out, is that very often we're lost, we lose things. We lose our madrigas and Avodas Hashem. We lose sometimes our cheshek for Torah. And we lose our cheshek, our desire for mitzvahs. And sometimes we lose the Torah that we once knew. So I say, where do you look? You're looking around on the floor, you're looking in your closet. So you look up. You say, it's all on top of the roof. It's right there. You just look up. It's all waiting for you. So that's what I learned from this, is that when we lose things, we have to realize only one place to look. And that's up in Shemayim, to make sure we daven to Hashem. Because everything is there waiting to be given to us. We just have to know how to look up, and then we can get everything. Anyway, okay, Adka. So Kavod Olam Malchus Shamayim is Rosh Hashanah, and it goes to Yom Kippur, and the Rambam says, the Ikar idea of the Inui, the fact that we we cause ourselves to suffer in five ways, the five different things we don't do in Yom Kippur. The idea is because we become like malachim, become like angels. Angels don't eat, so we don't eat. And some people are noyig, they don't sit down, because angels always stand up, malachim always stand up. But like mamash, like malachim. We separate ourselves completely from this world in order to just be cling to Hashem. And that vacus, that clinging to Hashem itself is what causes, the B'dit Shavah says, is what causes the fact that a person gets kapara. Just like there's no chait with Hashem, so too we're connected to Hashem, there's no chait by us either. And we get total purity and sanctity. The Ramban says, the Pachad Yitzchak brings the Ramban, and it's done, you do it from Elsfar HaKadoshim, that there's two parts of the Yetzer Hara. There's a part of the Yetzer Hara that's bifnim, that's inside of a person. Person has taivas and desires to go do things which might not be appropriate. Person has bad character traits, gaiva, arrogance, various other things that might be a part of him. That's the Yetzer Hara that's inside of a person. And Metzad Sheni on the other side is what's called the Yetzer Hara Mibachutz, the Yetzer Hara that's on the outside. That's not inside of a person. It's not a desire that comes inside of himself, and it's not a bad midah, a bad character trait that's inside of him, but something that lurks on the outside to tempt him to do something wrong. So Pachad Yitzchak says the first chelik of the avodah against the Yetzer Hara, that's Yom Kippur. Separate oneself from the world, cause yourself to suffer a little bit, become like a malach, and all the Yetzer Hara that's inside of you goes away and dissipates. Ki'oshan tichle, it disappears like the cloud. So now what's left is the Yitzhar that's inside, the temptations that lurk to tempt us to do things that are wrong in this life, to steal or do improper business dealings or whatever other seductions are in the world to draw us away from Hashem. So how does one defeat that Yitzhar? Kibbutz Ol Malchus Shamayim is the beginning of the first to defeat the first Yitzhar. And becoming a Malach, separating oneself from the world, is how to defeat the second Yitzhar. To defeat the first Yitzhar. And that's the beginning, but the defeat of the first Yitzhar. So what do we do about the second Yitzhar? So the Reshiva, Rabban Shechter, says over every year in the Sukkah, by the Maimer, in Chaim Berlin, he always says over from the Pachad Yitzchak, he says it many different ways, but that's in the same Yisayin every time, is that if a person lives his life happily, in Avodas Hashem, so he's become not interested in anything else that goes on in the world. I'll never forget, just it was such a beautiful way the Rishiva brought it out one time. I was with him in the Sukkah. Reb Chaim Schwartz, one of the Magid Yeshiva from the high school in Chaim Berlin, he was there. And he asked us, he said, do you think Reb Chaim Oizer separated himself from this world? Reb Chaim Oizer Grudzinski, the biggest genius the world knew at the time. He is a person called Kulei Torah, Eisik Bar Torah all the time in Chesed, a manik of Klai Yisrael. So did he separate himself from this world? It was a trick question. We all knew it. Like, yeah, of course. No. The Shiva said he didn't separate himself from the world. He said the whole world didn't exist by him. It's a whole different madriga. One has to separate from time as the desires and temptations of the world only if they tempt him. And if he has desires for them. But a person has no desires or temptations all for this world. He doesn't have to separate. They don't exist. That's the highest madriga. Not to be perish, to separate from the world, but to have loved Torah so much, to love Yiddishkeit, to love mitzvahs, to love the chesed, to love the David. That's the highest magic. And a person does that, so all the temptations of the world just disappear by themselves on the outside. That's the avodah of Simchas Torah, of Sukkot. Zman Simchas Seinah, the time of our happiness. Because when you're happy about Torah, and you're happy about avodas Hashem, you're happy about davening, you're happy about learning, you're happy about doing all the mitzvahs you can possibly do, so that's Simcha. That happiness that is brought in a person's life causes all the temptations to disappear completely, because who's interested? Nobody wants. And in Sukkot, we sit in the Sukkah, surrounded by the four walls, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Shechina Kadosh is there in the Sukkah. A person has to be extra careful not to speak Dvarim Batalim, unnecessary words, not to speak Lashon Hara Chas V'Shalom, Tvayzik Batar in the Sukkah. All four walls inside is just Kedusha, just Avedis Hashem. And the Shiva says over that Shemini Atzeres comes, Simchas Torah, Shemini Atzeres Mikra Adin, you don't need a Sukkah. I mean, Mikra Adin you do, but not Min HaTorah. You don't have to send the Sukkah, Shemini Atzeres. And the Vart is that in Shemini Atzeres, the whole world reaches a Madrig of Tahar, of purity and cleanliness. That it doesn't have to be inside the Sukkah to access all of the Kedusha, but the Sukkah goes away, and the whole world is just one big Sukkah, one world filled with the Vaitis Hashem, where all the Ra and all the Batala and all the bad things simply disappear. And some adjectives we have to reach on Simchas Torah. We have to think a little bit about this Simcha. What is the Simcha? How do we apply it in our lives? The Simcha of Sukkot is the thing that destroys all Yetzer Hara. Yeah. And Sukkot, the greatest simcha is the factor of the Hashem, that we get to serve the King. Rav Avraham Shor one time was speaking to one came to Miami, and when he was here, he called a bunch of bachim together. Actually, we were Saturday, the bunch of bachim would come to Rav Avraham Shor. It was a late Thursday night. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And we asked Rabbi Shor if it's possible we can come over some bachrim. And he was staying by Rabbi Shapiro's house. And Rabbi Shapiro said, you know, don't really bother him. It's very late already, you know. And he didn't understand what we were talking about. He said, I'm going to sleep on Thursday night. Like what? Why? Too late for what? He didn't understand what we were talking about. He said, okay, good. So we all came over and went to go speak to him. And he said, the fact that we get to be servants of the King, in of itself, is the greatest simcha one could possibly imagine. For example, Lahavdil, if somebody gets to be in the cabinet of whoever, President Obama, whoever the next president might be, the cabinet, Secretary of State, or whatever it is, the Chief of Staff, the person feels very choshev, the Chief of Staff of Obama, the most powerful person in the world. So Lahavdil, how much for us? What should the Chief of Staff, who are the children of the Rebbe Yishlam himself, and we're the children of Hashem, Barim Atem, Hashem Elokeichem. We're children of the Rebbeinu Shalom. We get to serve Him, Avinu Malkeinu, who's our Father and our King. How much of a simcha that has to bring to us. And there are simcha, that joy that we have, the fact we have Torah mitzvahs and serving the Rebbeinu Shalom, serving the King, who's our Father. Then of it itself, mevatel, and totally destroys all other desires that might exist in this world. I want to say over, that Sukkot is different than any other Yom Tov. Because on Sukkot, all the things of this world become Kodesh. We're bringing everything into the Sukkah. It says, Teshuvah came to do, you have to be inside the Sukkah just like you live your regular life. And the Pshat is, as we said before, the Sukkah is four walls. These four walls surround you, and only things that go into that Sukkah, that Sukkah is gebayt, completely built upon Kedusha and Tahara and Avodas Hashem. And when one lives there, you're living life Avodas Hashem. It's not just the Avodas Hashem when you go to the shul, you go to daven, you go to learn. But in Sukkot, when you eat, you're inside mamish, the mokum of Hashos HaShchinah. You're eating in the place where the Shechinah is. And you sleep in the place where the Shechinah is. And you talk to your family in the place where the Shechinah is. And every single chelik and point and kol prat or prat of your life is inside the Sukkot, which is the mamish, the shpitz of Avodas Hashem. Amalek, as we all know, Amalek is the complete antithesis of Avodas Hashem. The antithesis of all of Kedusha and Tahara. The Ramchal says in a certain place, I don't know where it is, but I heard this from Shlomo Haliwa, who was my Mishkel in Chaim Berlin. He said over that the Ramchal says is that all the neshamas of the whole world were inside Adam HaRishon before he did the Chet. When Adam HaRishon did the Chet, ate from the Eitz Hadas, all the neshamas were around the entire world. That's why it's Shaykh to have Gerim, because all Gerim, even though they were Goyim, they had a Shaykhis to the original neshama of Adam HaRishon. They could be Chayz and go back to the original neshama. However, Amalek, it says, Amalek didn't exist in the Neshama Adam HaRishon. Amalek is completely separate, no Shaykhis to Kedusha. And we know that Hashem made a Shavuah, He swore, He made an oath, that Kiyar al-Kais ka Mechol Amalek midor dor, something to that degree. That Hashem made a Shavuah, a promise, that it says, Yad al-Kais ka, my hands on the and throne of Hashem. When it talks about the throne of Hashem, it doesn't say Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Rather, what it says is Kais ka, Yud, and then a hey, and that's our first Hashem in the Pasuk. We're talking about the war with Amalek. When talking about the war with Amalek, Hashem is called Yud and Hey. Not the full name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So one time I was by Tiferes Yaakov, I was by Avram Shor in the shul. He said, Avram Marisha Moedek Avort. He said, you find in Yoni Olam has the things of this world. I've said this over before, but push it to hear it in the Chazor is Marsha Gudzach. Is that a Yud and a Hey in this world, very fine. In Yonim Gashmi, in physical things, you find a Yud and a Hey. For example, Achila has a Yud and a Hey. Shtia means a drink, has a Yud and a Hey. Sheina, which is sleeping, has a Yud and a Hey. In Yonim Gashmi, material things very often have a Yud and a Hey inside of them. And Avram Shor said, the things of Avodas Hashem, things of Kedusha, have a Vav and a Hey. For example, Torah has a Vav and a Hey, Mitzvah has a Vav and a Hey, Avoda has a Vav and a Hey, Kedusha has a Vav and a Hey. Very good. So things of this world have a Yud and a Hey, and things of the next world of Kedusha have a Vav and a Hey. It says that Hashem wants to wipe out Amalek mitachas ha-shamayim. Hashem wants to wipe out Amalek from underneath the Shamayim. And Avram Shor said from the original, what it means is that Amalek doesn't care what you do above Shemayim. Things that you do in the shul and you learn, you daven, gevaldik. Things that you do when you're doing a mitzvah, very nice. Things that you do in the base measure and you learn, very good. But tachas ha-shamayim, the things underneath the shamayim, things of this world, when you eat it, when you sleep it, when you drink it, when you brush your kids' teeth, and you do all the things that you have to do. That's what Malik says. Live your life in shul, great, be avayit, be an oved Hashem, but when you're living in your home, and you're eating, and you're drinking, and you're living like a normal person, that's what Malik says. Then don't do avayit Hashem. Don't do Hashem's will, live your life like a secular person. Leave religion, as they say, leave religion for the synagogue, and leave us alone outside of the synagogue. That's a Malik. And Hashem wants to wipe him out, mitachas ha-shamayim, wipe him out from underneath the heavens, because that's where Malik exists. He wants to say, when you're in the vav and the hay, very good. When you're in a vayda, Torah, mitzvah, good. Do the work of Hashem. But in this world, achil, ashti, and shena, that's where it should go away. And that's why it says, Hashem's name is not shalom, Hashem's name is not complete until Malik goes away. Because Malik's goal is the yud and the hay should be separated from the vav and the hay. That's why it's referring to Malik. It says Yad al Keska refers to Hashem only as a Yud and a Hey, because his name is separated. Because Malik tries to separate the Yud and the Hey from the Vav and the Hey, the Torah and Mitzvah and Kedusha from Eilam Hazah, things Dvarim Gashmiim. That's our goal in life. That's what it says. Bayom Yeshem Echad Ushmayachad. And the next one's name will be Hashem will be Echad. Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. When it says that His name will be one, that means we're going to reach a Madrega where there's no separation. Our lives between our lives of Kima Mitzvahs, our life of coming to the base medrash, our lives of davening, to our lives of when we're sitting at home eating and drinking and doing what we have to do. When all will be one shtick, one piece of Avedus Hashem, and that's Sukkos, the ultimate of everything. Where everything you do is in the sukkah. The sukkah is the place of the Ashras HaShchinah. And what do you do in the sukkah? You eat in the sukkah. You sleep in the sukkah. You drink in the sukkah. You learn in the sukkah. You daven sometimes in the sukkah. You make mitzvahs in the sukkah. Because everything is avodas Hashem. The Shiva said that the thing that represents the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the great simcha that was existed, the Shoev Ruach HaKodesh, when the Ruach HaKodesh came into the Beis HaMikdash, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they drew the water for the Nisach HaMayim. It calls it the Cholel, the Perek in the Gemara that talks about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is called HaCholel. A Cholel is a flute. When they blow it, and the music comes from the blower. That's what a wind instrument is. You blow it, and then the music comes out of it. So the Shiva said, why does the cholel, why is it, I'm sure he said this from Rav Huttner, but why is it that the flute represents the simcha of sukkahs, the simcha's beis ha-she'eva? And the Shiva said, mamish adover nifla. Hear this word, mamish amur dikazach. The Shiva said the pshat is, because when a person breathes in, they breathe in oxygen, and they breathe out carbon dioxide. And for a human being, if they breathe carbon dioxide, it's very bad for them. You breathe in oxygen, and you have a waste product you blow out called carbon dioxide. And that waste product leaves a person by means of breathing. So said the Rosh Yeshiva on Sukkos, as we said on Sukkos, the pshat is that all the psoilus, all the waste products that a person has, is eating, is drinking, whatever it is, the things that are not normally misiaches, they're not normally related to Kedusha. On Sukkos you have a cholel, the waste you breathe out, the carbon dioxide you breathe out, even that in of itself becomes music. It's not the pshat, there's any separation between Kedusha and mundane things. And secular things, all Kedusha. The person breathes in, what he normally breathes out is considered waste. But on Sukkot, that waste of itself becomes the music of the celebration of Sukkot. Because that's what Sukkot represents. There's no ra, there's no nothing, there's no bad, there's no negativity. It's all shaykh to Kedusha. That's what Aveda on Sukkot. That's what comes after Rosh Hashanah. And the Tahara of Yom Kippur, and after Tahara of Yom Kippur comes the Kedusha of Sukkot, where Mamish were bashed b'simcha rabba. And then comes Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres says that Hashem says, make a suda for me, just for me and you. And we're there with the Ribbono Shalom, it says, Hashem yechenim bodin and chenim yimai el necha, that Hashem leaves just for us, and him kashar b'daskam, Hashem is sad to leave us. Because after all the great Avodah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Hashem wants us to be with us, just us and Him together. Shmini Atzeres, the greatest dveikus and the yichud of us and the Ribbono Shalom. Good. So we always have to remember also that Yom Tov is not a thing that leaves us. Yom Tov is a seder of Avodas Hashem that we're trying to assimilate into ourselves and to our beings and to change ourselves forever and ever. And we'll get back to a word from the Sfas Emes about this a little bit later. Now, I want to say over every Sukkos. And this vat mamish, I saw one time mamish b'mikra as a word, just mamish by accident, and it's a vat and mamish. Every time I buy a site, I say it over. It's much half of a fell. Now, I said this over also just on Shal Shuddis a while ago, the idea, but I want to chaz it over, is that Rosh Hashanah we talked about the Akedah. The Akedah. Kedis Yitzchak. We said Hashem should remember Kedis Yitzchak, and he said the Shayfer, Shayah, the Shayfer of Yitzchak. Hashem should remember and forgive us. And there's a big question that Mepharshim ask is, what's the godless? What was so great about Akedah Yitzchak? Right? If Hashem came to any of us and he says, listen, I'm Hashem, I run the world, I created everything. And you, I'm commanding you, take your son and bring him up as a korban, bring him up as a sacrifice to me. You know, when meeting face to face with Hashem Yitzbarach, I don't think even many of us would say no. Hashem comes, tells you, go ahead, bring your son as a korban, no matter how barbaric it might seem, the myself, the Banishal Master to do it, so we do it. So what was the great test of Avraham Avinu? What was the great test? What was such a big Nisoyan? So Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the Zohar HaKadosh says that when the Pasuk says Vayaras HaMokim Mirochik, it says on the third day, Vayaras HaMokim Mirochik, Avraham Avinu saw the place where he was supposed to bring the Akedah, bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice. Vayaras HaMokim saw the place Mirochik from far away. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is what the Pasuk says, Vayaras HaMokim Mirochik, he saw the place from far away. The word Mokim over there doesn't just mean it's Pasha Pshat, like he saw the place, but very often referred to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem referred to as HaMokim, the place. HaMokim Merachim, HaMokim Menachem, referred to Hashem as HaMokim. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, Vayaras HaMokim Mirochik, he saw Hashem from far away. Avraham Avinu was going to do the Nisoyan, pass the test of the Akedah, not as Avraham Avinu, not as the Navi Hashem, but as a person who sees Hashem from a distance, a person just like any of us, even lower than any of us. That was the Nisoyan. Not to serve Hashem as Avraham Avinu, but when all the Nisoyanis, when all the Madregas, and all the Avayit, and all the Kiddush is taken away, to serve Hashem in that situation, the Yaris HaMokim Mirochik, when you see Hashem only from a distance, from far away, and still serve Hashem. That was the test. As we all know, the 10th test of Avraham Avinu, the 10th test, the one that made Avraham Avinu to Avraham Avinu. That was the Nisoyan of the Akedah. Rav Moshe Wolfson says, just like there was the 10th and final test of Avraham Avinu, it's also going to be the 10th and final test of Klal Yisrael as a nation. The 10th and final test is us. Before Ikvus of the Mashiach, at the time of Ikvus of the Mashiach, just like Avraham Avinu's final 10th test, so to us in the final days, are living through that situation of Vayaras HaMokim Mirochik. We don't see Hashem Yisroch so close, we don't see Him with our eyes, we don't see Him, we don't hear Him, we don't have the Nevuah, we don't have the Madregas that they once had. But Avraham PK, just like Avraham Avinu, when he saw Hashem from far away, he was able to pass the Akedah and do what it was he was supposed to do. So to us, in our generations of darkness and difficulty, when we persevere and go through it, and we say we're not going to listen, or we're not going to be afraid of the darkness, but we're going to pull through. That's our 10th Nisayon. That's the Nisayon before Bias HaMashiach. It's up to us to fulfill it. A bishop of Morgenstern, a great tzaddik in Yerushalayim, I saw in a sefer one time, he brings down the Kriya Shema Lamita, also has a shaykhis, a connection to Ikvus the Mashiach. Kriya Shema Lamita is after a long day, get up early in the morning to learn, or to go to work, whatever a person has to do. And you come home and you have to deal with your kids or whatever, and you have to, you know, go on with your life. And by the end of the day, we're exhausted. We all work hard, we all have our issues we have to deal with, and the emotional and mental stress. And when the time comes, we're going to sleep, all a person wants to do is just close his eyes, put his head on the pillow, and finish. And Bishop Morgenstern says that that time he said Kriya Shema Lamita, when you're tired and exhausted, you've been through so much throughout the day, and the time comes, you're ready to give up and just put your head on the pillow and go to sleep. And Bishop says that's Kriya Shema Lamita. And that's the same exact thing in our generation, 5,773 years already. It's been a long day. And it hasn't been easy. There's been pogroms and persecutions and holocausts and all types of difficult things. And at the end, only 227 years left. And we're ready to give up sometimes. We want to throw in the towel and say, I've been through so many rounds, throw in the towel, I give up. Rabbi Shimon Morgan says, that's Hashem Kriya Shema Lamita. That's our generation. We have to still be mekabel malchus shemayim, strengthen ourselves and push ourselves, even though it's so tired, we're exhausted. Ki chayis keicheinu al tazveinu. When our powers, when all of our keiches go away, and we're tired, we're exhausted, Hashem shouldn't forsake us. Ki chayis keicheinu al tazveinu, and shema kelinu, we say. Hashem, we're weak and we're tired, we just want to close our eyes and put hands on the pillow. Don't forsake us, give us the courage to go weiter and to continue. And only if we can continue at that time of darkness, we'll be successful. I thought of this word, and I shall show this in Zvashim Moed HaKazach. But Vom Shor says over, from the Magen Avram and Shulchan Aruch, I heard it from him, I shall show this years back, is that he said that if a person doesn't say Krishma properly, he thinks Magen Avram, the Magen Avram's kasha is that every morning we say Shalom Yasani Goy. Every morning, today is Shalom Yasani Goy, tomorrow morning is Shalom Yasani Goy, and Shabbos is Shalom Yasani Goy. Why every single day do we make a bracha Shalom Yasani Goy, Shalom Yasani Isha? Every day, Shalom Yasani Ovid. So Magen Avraham brings down, a person goes to sleep, his neshama goes up to Shemayim, and his neshama goes very high up to go, up to give a din v'cheshbon to Hashem Yisbarach. And when he's up there, sometimes neshamas of goyim and neshamas of nashim and neshamas of avodim can connect themselves to your neshama, that you come back into this world, you can be also, and bring inside yourself also goyish neshamas and women's neshamas and avodim's neshamas. When a person wakes up in the morning, makes the bracha, shlos ani goy, shlos ani isha, shlos ani oved, those neshamas go away from the person, and he's left in his own neshama kedosha. So it comes out. Oh, so he says, Krish Alamita, that provides a shmir from a person that those neshamas don't affect him. That's Krish Alamita. So it comes out. The Krish Alamita, when a person says it properly when he goes to sleep, that makes a difference the next morning if he wakes up as a yid, or he wakes up as a goy. That's what comes out, Krish Alamita. That's an afkamina. Say Krishna, probably go to sleep. You have a shemira. The neshama goes up all the way from the shemayim, and it comes back down. You come back as a yid and don't come back as a goy. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel Morgenstern said that the end of days, we're holding by a matzav as Krishna Alamita. We're tired, we're exhausted. We just want to go to sleep. When a person says Krishna figuratively in our days, it means to persevere. And even when it's dark and you're tired, to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, and no matter how shvach it might be, no matter how difficult how might it be, get up in the morning and say my da'ani, and you go to a shir in the morning. And if you can't understand a thing about it, still you go, because of osmosis we learn Torah. And you go to shachas, even if you don't know any of the words, you say it anyway. And mincha, and ma'ivin ashir at night, and kvitim l'torah, and mishmaya say be a word. And when you persevere in the darkness, that makes the difference between if you're going to be a yid or you're going to be a goy. That's the difference. When you pull through in the darkness, when you're exhausted, and you don't say, I just want to go to sleep, because if you just say, I give up, I just want to go to sleep without saying Krishna Lamita, you wake up as a goy. So to us in our generations, instead of saying we're going to go easily down to sleep, the opposite, we're going to fight and we're going to win and we're never going to give up. And that comes of Murtik Avot from Nosam Mibreslev. A murder kavod. Rav Nosson asks the Pashta Kashna. We know the whole idea, the Medrash says the whole idea of Sukkos. It says we take the lulav and esrog, and that's our weapons. It says from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Sukkos, we're fighting against the Satan or the Umos HaElam or the Yitzhahara, whoever the different Nuschais, different Girsais are. Fighting against the Satan, fighting against the Yitzhahara. And after Yom Kippur, I'll Zeicha Baruch Hashem to a good judgment. I'll be Zeicha Baruch Hashem to a good year of Tashan Engim. And the Major says that when there's a war, how do you know who won the war? You know who won the war, but the person still holding his weapons at the end of the game. At the end of the battle, the Major says, the one holding the weapons, he's the guy that won the battle. And says the Major, so to us, we're holding up our Lulav and Esrog, Hadassim and Aravais. We're holding them up. And just like we're holding up a lulav and esrog, those are our weapons. The fact that we're holding our weapons at the end, that means that we won the war. I'd count the medrash. Just like when there's a battle, how do you know who won? The guy holding the weapons. So to us, we're having a battle with the Yetzirah. Who wins? The one holding the weapons. And what are our weapons? A lulav and esrog. That's what the medrash says. So Rav Nosson asks a very simple question. And that question is, if you win a battle, you don't have to hold your weapons anymore. If you won the war, so you put your weapons down. Maybe you got a medal of honor or whatever. But your weapons, if you won the war, why do you still hold your weapons? If you won the war, so put your weapons down, go home. What does the Medrash mean? Who won the war? The one holding the weapons. If you won the war, so you don't need any weapons anymore. You only need weapons if you're still fighting. So says Rav Nosson, Dover Nifla. Rav Nosson says that we fight against the Yetzirah from the time we're born until the time we die. From the time you wake up in the morning and hit the snooze button until you go to bed at night and think to Krishna Lamita. It's a mamasha fight. From the second you wake up, the second you go to sleep. when you're going to have some cereal in the morning, it's a Yetzirah, you can eat Pertaiva, you can eat further Rebbeinu Shalom. And you go to work, are you going to withstand the temptation of doing something that's, you know, that's Osir LaHalocha, Gneves Akum, whatever it might be? Or are you going to do something that's right, or you do something that's wrong? Every day is an Isayat. And the Yetzirah never gives up. Really, there's never a victory against the Yetzirah. You never win. You never win. But what does Hashem say? If you continue fighting, you're guaranteed to win. Eventually. If you fight, and you fight, and you fight, and you never throw in the towel, you never give up, then you win. And the goal of the Yetzirah is not just to beat you, but to make you give up. The real goal of the Yetzirah is not to make you fall, not to make you do a chet, not to make you do a sin, but the real goal of the Yetzirah is to make you give up, throw in the towel, and say you've had enough. To give up. That's the main thing the Yetzirah wants you to do. And if you give up, then you lose. But Hashem Yisbarach says, if you keep on fighting, then you win. So it's not an issue of, are you going to win by means of fighting? If you fight, you win. So what's the old battle? Are you going to give up, or are you going to persevere? So it says, Rav Nosson, that's Pshat the Medrash. Who won the war? The one who's holding the weapons. What does that mean? It means because you're still fighting. And if you're still fighting, that means you won. If you're still fighting, you're guaranteed to win. The issue is not, will I win or will I not win? The issue is, am I going to fight or am I going to stop? If you fight and you persevere, you win. And that's a pshat that Rav Nosson says. Who is holding the weapons? If you're holding the weapons, you won. Because the whole issue is, are you going to keep your weapons or are you going to put your weapons down? Are you going to fight or are you going to give up? Are you going to stay in the darkness? You're afraid and it's scary and therefore I'm throwing down weapons, I'm going home and enjoying the other side. If a person says, I'm going to fight, I'm going to continue to fight, no matter what, that means a person wins. That's sukkahs. In a time of cheshech, in a time of difficulty, in a time like we live in now, where you can't walk down the street without being bombarded by ra and rishos, and you can't even have the phone in your pocket without being exposed to all the horrible things in the universe, where we're so convinced that we'll not be successful in a vayitzeh Hashem that we don't even try, in that situation, in the darkness, in our generations, we don't have the great tzaddikim that they once had, the great Rosh Yeshiva, and the great Rebbes, and the great Admei Chassidus, the great tzaddikim and gedolim they once had, we don't have anymore. And the shaila is, are you going to give up, or are you going to fight? And that's up to us. We wake up in the morning, and we're going to think to ourselves, today is going to be a day of Kedusha. There's a mice, I always say so from the Bredit Shavar, but I just saw it now from a position of Anipo. From Malta Zilber brings down this Maisa. I said over before, but it's a meritic lesson in how strong we have to be. Is that Rabbi Yishu would say every night before he went to sleep, like we're all supposed to do, make a cheshvan and nefesh, and say Hashem Yisbarach. I said over so many times, I loved this word. Say Hashem Yisbarach, I tried to do good today, but the Maisa I messed up. But tomorrow I'm going to do better. Tomorrow I'm going to do much better. Tomorrow I'll do much better. And you're going to tell me, I said that last night also. So, but this time I really, really mean it. Is that, I said that last night too. I really, really, really mean it. And it's every night for the whole life, for decades upon decades, did the same thing over and over again. Because we're not afraid of failing. We're not afraid of messing up. We're not afraid of something you hate once in a while. We're not afraid of not dying with kavona sometimes. What's a real scary thing? Is that Rav Zishu would say one night, Hashem Yisbarach, I tried, and it's day number 7,000 that I've tried so hard and I didn't do it, and now, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's a pachad. That's what's scary. To fight, to mess up, we all mess up. But to fight, not everybody fights. It's up to us to persevere and to go. Rav Tzadik, Rav Ram Shoy says, oh, from Rav Tzadik, Mamash Adovin Nifla. The Rav Tzadik says, The Chazal are medamed, they compare the Yetzirah to a snake. An Aveira to a snake bite. And Rav Amshar says over from Rav Tzadik, a beautiful pshat, a mamash amridik a chizik. Is that Rav Amshar said over from Rav Tzadik, they're just like a snake when he bites you, it can hurt. It's not like a shmek when a snake bites you. But what kills you? Not the bite. What kills a person is the venom that the bite puts into you. A snake bites and puts venom and it goes into your blood, that's what kills a person. The bite itself, okay. It hurts. A lot of things hurt. But what kills you is the venom. And says Rav Tzadik, the same thing is with a chet, with a sin. When a person does a chet is bad. A chet is bad. It hurts. It's bad for your neshama, it's plaguing you. But what's really bad, the venom that the Aveira puts inside you. And that Aveira, that venom, Rav Ramshur says, B'Shem Rav Tzadik, is depression. That Atzvus, that Oy, I did a chait, I did an Aveira. And I tried so hard and I still failed. I'm just going to give up now. I'm just going to give up. I tried and I failed again. I tried again and I failed again. That venom that the Aveira puts inside of a person, that's what kills you. Not the chait, not the sin itself, not the bite that gets by the snake. But when the snake bites, it puts in his venom. And that venom of the Tzahara is the idea to give up and to be depressed. To give up in your life, say, oh, I'm such a failure, I'll never do it. But if a person believes that he can, that's where the fight comes in. Don't let the venom come. The antidote to the snake bite is not to get, is not band-aids. But the antidote to the snake bite of the Tzahara is to say, I don't care if I fail. I might fail, and I failed before, and I'm going to fail again. That's not the issue. The issue is, am I going to continue tomorrow and fight like I did today or not? That's when the Muhammad comes. Am I going to fight and hold on my lulav and esrog and sukkos and say, I went through Rosh Hashanah, I went through Seder Shemitah, I went through Yom Kippur, and I know I'm going to fail again, but I'm holding up my weapons because I'm never going to give up. And that's who the Medrash says wins the war of Nathan says, because he keeps on fighting. Or we're going to be the other ones. When Kriya Shema Mita comes, and Kichois Keichenu, and our powers are going away, we do forsake ourselves. That's all of us. That's our lives. That Chazal is talking about us. And when Avram Avinu saw the Hashem from far away, and Avram didn't say, I'm giving up. Avram said, I'm bringing my son in the Akedah, the 10th test, and he was matzich, and he was successful. He was mashrish. He put that and rooted in the souls of every Jew afterwards. That when the darkness is there, we don't have the emunah and the chizik and all the inspiration, all the good things. And all the madrigas of the habits, Shem, and the years, Shem, are taken away from us. It's like Avraham Avinu didn't stop and say, it's dark, there's a mokhi merokh, I can only see it from far away. But Avraham persevered, and was mashrish and said, we also persevere. We're not going to give up, we're going to be matzliach, we're going to be successful. It says that Avraham Avinu, when he was running after the Malachim, the four kings, the five kings, whoever he was running after, it says he reached Ad Choiva. He fought them until the place called Choiva. He fought them in the place, there's a place called Choiva, and he fought them until they got to Choiva. Choiva was the last battle he had before he was successful. The last battle Avraham Avinu had against the Malachim was at this area called Choiva. So Rav Yishuv Wolfson brings from the Zohar HaKodesh, then a person says, "Person, you're supposed to before you wash mayim achreinim, you say mayim achreinim chayva. Mayim achreinim chayva. Sfadim say it's from the Zohar Kodesh. So the Zohar Kodesh says that chayva is a certain klipa, whatever, certain koyach hara that a person has after eating. But it says that melach sedoyim. The reason why we wash mayim achreinim is what's called melach sedoyim." Melach Sedoim was a salt from Sedoim. Their person had the salt on their hands, they touch their eyes, they become blind. So we say, Mayim Achreinim Choyva, Mayim Achreinim is a chiyuv for us to wash, because otherwise we become blind. Says Rav Meisher Wolfson, it's just like the 10th test of Avraham Avinu was V'yasem Mokim Irochik. The 10th place of Avraham, the last place of Avraham Avinu went in his war against the Malachim, which the Ramban says is a remnant to the Arba Golis, the four Golis, is the four exiles we have to go through. And the last place was Choyva. Says Revelation Wolfson, just like the Zohar says, Mayim Achreinim Choyva, because it can blind the person if they don't wash Mayim Achreinim. So to the last fight against all the four exiles that we're holding in now, on the fourth exile, the end of it all is Choyva. And Choyva is the thing that blinds a person if they're not careful. The same thing we're holding in a matzah, being blind to the Rebbeinu, being blind to Kedusha. And that fight Avraham Avinu felt and fought in Choyva against the four kings, that it was mashed and rooted inside of us also in the time that we're blind. We can fight and persevere and still be matzliach. Shal b'zoicha toshin ayin gimel. A year for sure, there must be a gematria somewhere that talks about Mashiach and toshin ayin gimel. But that's not just the gematria. It's up to us. It's up to us to keep fighting. And the kichos keichenu, when it's difficult and it's hard for us, and we see that there's darkness, and it's harder and harder to fight Hashem, we have to persevere and pull through. Kriya Shema Alamita. Just like when you're tired and exhausted, you say the Kriya Shema properly, that makes you from a goy to a yid. Ibn Osman says the victory of Sukkah is holding up in the tzoch and you're saying, I'm victorious. Sukkah is there from the cholil, the flute that a person blows, the flute that even the psoilis, the waste products of breathing, that in itself turns into the most beautiful music. And sukkahs, you bring everything into the sukkah. Your chilo, your shtia, your shena, you're drinking, you're eating, and you're sleeping all in the sukkah. All of it is hashaych, is the kedusha and avodas Hashem. That's the tikkun of klipas hamalek that separates between the yod hay and the vav hay of gashmias and ruchnias, where everything is just kedusha and everything is shaykh is avodas Hashem, and that's why you have hakofes. Shmini Atzeres, we go around in a circle. We're enclosing the whole life that we have into the circle of avodas Hashem. Shall be zayichet hakeh to emes avdei Hashem. Where all of our lives are obsessed with Ribbono Shel Olam. We persevere in darkness and we say, I'm not giving up, because once we give up, we lose, and we don't give up, we win. Shel Zeichet Tasha and Gimel, a year of Oyer, a year of light, a year of Geula, a year of Simcha, a year of Nachas, a year of goodness, of Shefa, Baruch, Vatzlocha, and the Geula Shel through our Avod and our perseverance. We should never give up. Kichlois Kechena Tazvenu. When our Koyches and our powers are going away, and we just want to go to sleep, we pull through. And that pulling through, serving Hashem through the dark, should be Mahapich. Just like the psoilus of the flute became the greatest music, so through the darkness we go through V'yarsamokim Mirochik, and he ran Ad Choiva. The blindness should turn the greatest light, and the darkness should go in the greatest brightness. Shall be zeichet to the oir of Melech HaMashiach Bekarev V'yameinu.
Amen.